You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, let's turn to our scripture reading for today. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 11 through the end of the chapter. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, Father, we ask your blessing on this, the reading of your word, for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen.
Okay. Right, well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee again for this opportunity we have, and we thank Thee for this book of Galatians which we have been reading through and coming to understand more about. We thank Thee for the lessons learnt, Lord, that these will not simply be dead lessons, but that would live as we learn things and put them in practice in our lives. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Right, well, what I want to do today is finish off the book of Galatians and then do a review. Now, when we do reviews, I tend to get all excited with reviews. So I hope that that's not going to be too noisy for you. But at least we should learn some of the things which stand out. Now, the things which I want to review may not be the super major lessons of Galatians, but things that perhaps are new, and they come out. We're up to Galatians chapter 6, and we had been looking at this this idea of burden, and there's two passages here where the English word burden is used, and one has this Greek word baros, and the other one has this Greek word phortion used for the same English word burden. And baros, basically, you know, you can see words in English like barometer. It comes out. And the pressure of air, the pressure of a column, or weight of a column of air, gives you this idea that a person can be put under all sorts of pressure. So if we read this in Galatians 6, it says this, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So in review of last time, we talked about that yes, there is a responsibility to look after other people when the pressures come on them and you notice that they're under pressure, and we should help them out. That's certainly true. But when you jump down in verse 5, it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Burden there. And that's the burden phortion. And as I mentioned last time, that burden is like the haversack that goes on a soldier. And no one else can take that. That's the soldier's responsibility. He must take that. And if you look at the verse just prior to that, it says, but let every man prove his own work. Prove it. Put it forth, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. And it goes on, for every man shall bear his own burden. Those two verses go together, and they're locked together. You see, it is right for us to rejoice in the burden and the fulfillment and proving of the work which is ours. There is nothing wrong with that. I pointed out how that there was a work by Ayn Rand. She put this thing out, this book, Atlas Shrugs. And the idea behind that is, it's right, you see, for you to fulfill your life and have happiness in yourself. And it's not selfishness to do that. And that if all you do is sort of look at other people and only do that, then what happens is you cannot prove your own work and you cannot rejoice in the burden which has been given to you. And she doesn't use those words, but I'm now biblicizing her idea, which I suppose that she thinks that her ideas are sort of opposing the biblical ideas, but they're not actually. You'll find some of those ideas right here in this passage. So that's an interesting thing. I thought that was interesting to see that in Galatians 6. And as you go down here in verse number 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And we talked about this, that in fact, as we as Christians move into the spiritual realm and as we perfect our faith with the right kind of works, so we will simply add to the reward that we shall get in the life which is to come. And that's not far off, is it? I mean, when you think about how fast our lives go by. And it says, and let us not be weary, verse 9, in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice there's a condition on there. If we faint not. Meaning, if we do not give up. And it is tempting, isn't it? To say, I've done my bit and that's it. Well, you know, that's a bit of a pity. Because the picture that Paul uses, and especially when you read it in the book of Hebrews, writing to the Hebrews, this idea of running a race. He also mentions the same idea in Philippians. This idea of running the race. Well, you don't just stop halfway through the race. You've got to end it, you know, and we need to keep that idea going, you know, and take it to its fruitfulness. And it says in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I was pointing out there are some religions out there that will teach it. Oh, no, 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 no. All we're going to do is we're going to look after our own and the rest can go to hell. You know? And we'll help them go to hell too. You know? There are some religions like that, that have that sort of mentality. But it's interesting, isn't it, that the biblical faith which comes to us from the true God says, let us do good unto all men, all of mankind, but especially unto them who are the household of faith. So sure, there's a special place for those who are of the household of faith, but hey, we're to do good to all. And that's a tremendous truth. It's interesting to read some of the biographies of some of the men, great men of faith of the past, and read how they lived their lives, and you'll see this, that they did do good to all. You see how large a letter, this is the verse 11, so now we're starting where we finished. This is the part where we left off at. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Now, this has been of some controversy to some people, and they say, well, this is referring to the whole of the epistle. But the whole of this epistle is quite a short one, really. It's not a very long epistle. And when it says, you see how large, that word large there, pelikos, that usually refers to the geometrical size. So when it says, you see how large a letter, it seems more likely that it's referring to the size of the letters. A letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. So he's talking about that portion which is written with his own hand. That's the large part. If you want to sort of look at an example of that, just look back to Luke 23. Matthew, Mark, and Luke 23. And verse 38. And it says this, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. And if you see in the King James, this is the King of the Jews. The nice big letters there. That's the idea that I think is being mentioned here in Galatians 6. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. And why would it be that he wrote that in big letters? It could be that the eyes, you know, are coming through here, that he's writing, he's got a problem with his eyes. He talks about this in Galatians, that they would have, you know, plucked out their own eyes and given it to them, to him. So it's likely he had a problem with his eyes, and he then went to the amanuensis and said, please give me the quill. And then he took the quill, and then he wrote down this last portion that we are now reading, which is the basic summary, where he ends off with the sign manual, so that everyone can see this is a genuine epistle that comes from Paul. And, you know, do you know the name of one of the amanuenses? Well, in Romans, his name is mentioned, and it's Tertius. Tertius was one of those that was would write things down for Paul. And it says in verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You see, one way to get out of persecution, one way to be accepted, is to go to the doctrine which is prevalent around you, right? And we could do this. I mentioned this last time. We can knock down borders by getting rid of truth. You know, we can do that. But that's not what we are here to do. We are here to proclaim the truth, no matter what. And we'll boldly go where no man has gone before, right? And if necessary, I mean, to hold to the truth. And it says in verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Hey, what's the application to us? Well, people will love to do this. They will love to put you under religion so that they can glory in seeing you subservient to their law and their dictates. It's a part of the flesh of man that likes this. All of this kind of religious stuff, I've seen it. I've been inside a movement where there's all this kind of fleshly religious stuff going on. And man loves to see people obedient to these laws. And it empowers them. And people like power. It says this in verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There's a big demarcation going on here between the spiritual truth that Paul holds to and the world. And it's a big chasm in between. And he says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, has power to do anything. That's the availeth, has power to do anything, strong to do anything. It says, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. This is interesting, because what Paul does here is, he really shows you something. I mean, surely, the religionist would have said, uncircumcision. Right? Hasn't he just gone through all this truth? That, you know, the law of circumcision, it's not going to give you anything. It's not going to get you justified. He's really hit it. So why doesn't he come out and produce his new religion, the religion of uncircumcision? But he doesn't do it. Why? Because there is a new canon. You know the word canon? We get it for the canon of the scriptures. It's the rule. There is a new rule. And the rule, which is this new creation, the new creature, it's got nothing to do with the religion of man and outward things, circumcision or uncircumcision, but rather a new creature. That's the true man. That's Paul, the true man of God. No, he doesn't produce a new religion. No. He's bringing forth the truth where it cuts religion off. And he says, and as many as walk according to this rule, that's the canon, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. You notice there's two groups mentioned here. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. And also, it says, upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God. Israel had a whole lot of people in there. and many of them all tripped up and trying to justify themselves by this religiousness. And then there were some who said, yes, but look at Abraham. Yes, look at what Paul said about that. He's right. If you go back to the scripture, he had the faith before he was circumcised. And this is the Israel of God. And they could claim that. And it goes on. And he says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. That's a command. I mentioned this last time, I think. Let no man trouble you. Trouble me. He's saying, this is an imperative. Let no man trouble. What's the spiritual application for someone today? Well, this is in defense of right division. This is in defense of Paul. And specifically, Paul the prisoner. I will not allow someone in my presence to put down Paul's ministry or bring forth a wrong interpretation. I'm going to have to defend Paul's ministry. Because in defending Paul's ministry, I'm defending the truth. That's a practical application. He says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The marks here, stigmata. Stidzo is the verb. To pierce, to prod, to pry. And stigmata here, this is the noun, marks on his body of the Lord Jesus. Now here's another truth that we know of that time. There were slaves in that time. And what would happen to these slaves is they would have the name of their owner marked on their body. So here's another thing you can see in this. He says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, two things I believe are going on here. One, the marks are coming from his being true to the truth, and therefore he's been beaten, he's been put in jail. 2 Corinthians 11, you go through all the stuff that he went through. Yes, that's true. But it's also true that he was a bond slave of Jesus, and therefore the marks Jesus were put on him. He's owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, last of all, 18, brethren. Now, that's interesting because when he starts the book of Galatians, he gives his credentials. Oh, anoetai galatai. Oh, foolish Galatians. He gives all of his strength and his authority as an apostle. But now when you come to the end, what does he say? Brethren. Of the same womb. Of the same womb. He's now calling them brethren. What a wonderful way to leave this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And there is the sign manual that goes with all of his epistles. I know it's tempting to look at the first word of most of his epistles, which is Paul. But that's not his sign manual. His sign manual is when he takes the pen off the amanuensis and writes and puts down that passage about grace. That's his sign manual. And you'll find it in the book of Hebrews. It's there in the book of Hebrews as well. Okay. That finishes, essentially, what I wanted to say about Galatians. Does that mean we've exhausted all the truth of Galatians? Hardly. We have simply scratched the surface and we've brought out some truths. There's going to be more in there. So now what I want to do is I want to give a little summary of some of the major points that I think you need to be aware of. Okay, first one. Here's my first point of summary. Galatians 1, 6 and 7. Let's look at it. Galatians 1, verse 6 and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another. That's heteros. That's another of a different kind. And then he says in verse 7, which is not another of the same kind. Different heteros and allos of the same kind. So we should see this in the Bible. we ought to see this. And, in fact, we do. You have a look a little further on at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. It says this, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." There is a gospel of the same kind. And I better start using the technology. Of the same kind. You know, these things, when they first came out in New Zealand, the Chinese would produce these lasers. And they produced some that were extremely powerful. And some crazies would use these near the airport and start to hit the cockpit when the flights take off. And you can imagine the pilots, the havoc would be in the cockpit with these lasers coming through. And they're quite powerful. So there was some strict laws put in place there about using these things. But this is a great little device. I don't have to use my hand. Allos. Okay, so heteros, different. Allos, of the same species. Of the same species. And we get that mentioned a little bit further on. This comes to the next point I want to point out, because it's associated with this. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter." Okay, here we have, again, this idea. Peter and Paul, certainly they have quite distinctive ministries, and they have other kinds of gospel given to them, but they're of the same species. Gospel of the circumcision, gospel of the uncircumcision. You see that going on. Look at as you go down to verse 9. "And when James, Cephas," who's Cephas? Peter. Okay, James, Cephas, and John. Isn't that interesting? James, Cephas, and John. And if you go to your Bible, what do you find right near the end of your Bible? But again, epistles related to these circumcision ministries that are going on here. And in verse 9 it says, "Who seeing the pillars perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." You've got it in black and white, mention made of this distinction in the ministries going on here. And you need to observe it, you need to accept it. Just go here, let's have a look at another passage. This is in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23. And it says this, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed." So this is relating to Paul, that he's now preaching the faith which once he destroyed. And the truth of that, as you compare scripture with scripture, is that he literally did do that. He preached the faith which once he destroyed. In other words, Paul's first ministry during the book of Acts is indeed a continuation of this ministry to the Jew first. And it related to the hope of Israel. And you can't change that, folks. You've got to accept that that is the case. And a lot of light will come through that. And I want you to have a look at this verse now, chapter 2 and verse 18. So this is like a summary of what's going on, what's some of the points that have come up. And let's just read this together. It says, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." That's parabates. That comes from parabino. And that comes from this idea to walk alongside. See, a transgressor is really someone that's walking alongside. He's not in the truth. He's walking alongside. And he's walking alongside in a special kind of way. This word, parabino, this word means to walk. This is para, as in parachute, alongside. And then this verb here gives rise to this word, basis, which is a foot. And you can imagine that, to walk, you put one foot in front of the other. And so really, someone that is a transgressor is someone who does not have the right basis. The right basis. In other words, if you have the right basis, then you can come to the world that we really live in, this real world, and you can make sense of it. You can find the different places in the world by having the right basis. But if you have the wrong basis, you're going to try and go in places which you have no business going. And that's what many Christians do. They have the wrong basis. Look what he says here. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Some things have been destroyed, my friends. And if you try and build a basis from the things which have been destroyed, you'll try and go in places where you should never go, my friends. That's what many Christians are doing today. They're going in places they have no business going. Why? Because things have been destroyed. And things have been put in place to replace these things. God is all about fulfilling. When something goes wrong, there's a rift. And then he puts something in there. We're about finding what he puts in there. Don't try and build again the things which have been destroyed. Otherwise, you'll make yourself a transgressor. You'll try and live your life on the wrong basis. Right? That's a cool thing, man. That's a nice thing to understand. And you can interpret a lot of what you see going on within religion from this. You can see a lot of it. And I'm not going to point my finger at various groups and say, look at that filthy thing there. No, I understand exactly. I have been in churches, and I've been sort of like mesmerized by these smooth talkers. They are smooth. Hey, I'm rough, and I'm all sharp-cornered, and, you know, it's a mess. I admit it. But some of these people, they are smooth, man, and they can mesmerize people. Uh-huh. You know, they are so smooth. But what we've got to be like is like that British bulldog. You know, the British bulldog's got a nose that's back here. So Winston Churchill, he explained why the British bulldog was such an important symbol of Britain during the time of the Nazi thing that's going on in the Second World War, where they just about were obliterated. He says, the reason why we have... Well, I can't speak like him. But the reason why we have the British Bulldog is because he can put his teeth in and still breathe. You know? And, you know, that's what you've got to be like. I mean, there's so many smooth talkers out there. Come my way. Come my way. And what are they preaching? Garbage! Garbage! And what we've got to do is we, in our own way, have got to reach out to people and bring the right people in, tell them the truth, lest they be deceived. Okay, that's a cool one. And now, chapter 3 and verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. And the way that this is often taught is it means this. This is the way it's taught. It's taught this way, that the law was added to the promise. That's the way it's taught. But that won't work. That won't work. And it won't work because if you look back in verse 15, it says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, and it was, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Wait a minute. So you can't add to it. You can only add like with like. So that won't work. So what was the law added to? Well, it was added to the like. And the like was the Ten Commandments. So you have the Ten Commandments. And then was added the law. The added law. And you find it laid out very nicely in the Old Testament scriptures, and we did that as we went through Galatians. Nice thing to realize. Another neat little truth to help you along the way. Chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Oh, goody. Schoolmaster. I think that was one of the first pictures I attempted to draw up here of the schoolmaster. But, of course, the schoolmaster in this case is the paedagogos. The paedagogos. And what is it about the paedagogos? Well, the paedagogos made up of these two, with some replication on the end. This is from pais, which means a child. And this here, ego, which means to lead a child. That's what this was, this tutor, specially chosen servant, who was given a special wage to look after the children. And it says here in chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And then it says, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Oh, good one. Good one. So therefore, faith comes. Faith comes. And it has a revelation. Faith comes, and it has a revelation. And once faith comes, then the schoolmaster, bye-bye. Bye-bye. No longer under the schoolmaster. What are people trying to do today? They're denying these divisions and putting themselves back under the schoolmaster, the paedagogos, and being led about. Have you seen how you lead about a bull with the ring through the nose? You know? Oh, man. There's a show we used to go to. It's called the Kumu Show. And in there, they show off all of their new bulls. They use this artificial breeding program, and they get, you know, stuff from all over the world, and they produce these different animals, Charolais, and they come up these big humps on their back, blue bulls, that are, they stand higher than you are. These are massive animals. And as massive and as strong as they are, that ring, relatively small ring to the nose, oh yeah, okay, I'm coming, you know. And that is basically what, you know, a good picture of what a lot of people are like. They've been led about by this paedagogos. They've been put under the law when they need to be set free. What will make them free? And free indeed, it's always the truth. And the truth, who is Jesus, who brings forward the revelation he gives to Paul and passes on to us. We need to know about it, and they need to know about it. And then, of course, the last thing that I wanted to point out was this very thing that we began with. And by the way, I'm just pointing out that Paul used one of these Ten Commandments because it is indeed a law which is in agreement with the law of love. The two different burdens which we began with. And since I've covered that, I won't go through it again. And that is my summary of the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is right on, man. It's right where we need to be and learn and understand. Now, I wonder what we need to do next. What should we study next? Well, I'll put some thought into it. You can tell me what you think, and we'll think about it. And we should start to institute some biblical sort of traditions. What about when we finish, you know, a series, we have an eating meeting? That sound like a good idea? Some people say, yeah, that sounds good. That tastes good too. Okay, well, maybe we'll talk about that. But we've finished, for now at least, the book of Galatians. They're gone out into internet land, and believe it or not, large numbers of people are watching these things. The ABCs of Right Division, they're out there. They've been downloaded by people going to work on a subway system and a train or whatever, and they're listening to stuff. That's amazing. And we need to get the word out. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time. All the truth that we've learned, Lord, we thank Thee. We pray for those in this church who are busy with, in their own personal lives, presenting the gospel to people, and we ask that you would help us, Lord, to be more effective in our very lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church.
Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.